Give us pure heart. And of course, the song is a reminder too for us to keep our hands clean in the season of COVID-19. Give us clean hands. So make sure you wash your hands regularly. So that's a good reminder too. And have you ever wondered why, the second line has this God of Jacob, right? Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. You know, O God of Jacob. So who is Jacob? Jacob is someone who deceived his father, stole the blessings of his elder brother, and yet God would still reach out to him and be his God as he turned to God. So there is no one who is outside the reach or beyond the reach of God's grace. And that is so wonderful, a so wonderful reminder that he is God of Jacob, someone who bent so low as to lie and deceive his own father, stole the blessing of his brother. And for anyone who turned to God, God receives him. So wonderful. You know, when I was preparing this message, and oftentimes there will be a song that go through my head, you know, that kind of reinforce the point that I want to share with the church in my message. And as I was preparing this message, there was this song that I just can't remember the title, but it has this line, a dose with undivided heart, right? What was that song? Yeah, with total devotion or something like that. Anyone can help me out here? Yeah. Those who have total devotion to you or something like that? I think the song is called Blessed. Right? Blessed. Those who have total devotion or undivided heart. The word blessed may not be so often used today, but the word blessed really in the passage, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, has this meaning of being happy. So if you replace the word blessed with happy, it gives you the same kind of meaning as well, that whoever that is pure in heart is also a happy person. Happy is he who is pure in heart, for he shall see God. And the same can be said for the other beatitudes as well, right? Blessed is to be happy. I probably have to reach down here because I forgot an equipment that I should use, which is this one here. So here we have these beatitudes that Jesus said, blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I just want to start with the key point, because the first few minutes is when everybody's attention is most intense, and after that it just goes down. It's like a decay curve, you know. For those of you who have done experiments on decay, it's a bit of a decay curve attention. So I just want to start with the most important point of today's message, and that is God is concerned with our heart. God is very concerned with our heart. He's concerned about the condition of our heart. He's concerned about the purity of our heart. He's concerned about how our heart is doing, basically. And that is essentially the key point in today's message. God is very concerned about our heart. So today, this morning, we're going to look into this, dive into this verse a bit deeper. But before we do that, let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you because you're a God who sees. You're a God who sees everything, especially the God who knows our heart full well. Father, we come humbly before you. We know that there's nothing that's hidden from your sight. Help us, O Lord, therefore, to come before you openly, with open heart, open mind, willing to allow you to search us, to examine us, and to highlight to us the condition of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So God is very concerned with our heart. And that oftentimes is the opposite of what we are concerned about. Oftentimes we are concerned about how we look. Is our dress matching or whatever that's matching? Is our hair misplaced or is our hair receding like mine or something like that? And all that. We're concerned about the outside. What car, what dress and all that. Or even the position we hold in our jobs. The outside. We are concerned about the outside. But God looks into the heart. And that's what we need to focus this morning. So one of my favorite quotes is this. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. So it means that at the core of many things that we encounter, whether it's an argument, whether it's a dispute, whether it's whatever, it is to do with the heart. The heart is at the bottom of certain decision that is being made, or certain ways certain people go about doing things, or a certain plan that you have. It is the heart at the center of these. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. In 1 Samuel, we read, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And this was the message to Samuel when he was with the family of Jesse, looking through son number one and son number two, all very impressive because they were tall, good-looking, muscular. Every one of them looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone with bulging biceps and everything. I said, surely must be this guy, right? He would be my king. But the Lord reminded and said to Samuel, people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart, because at the end of the day, it is the heart that matters. It's not the size of your muscle, but it is the heart. But yet in Jeremiah, we read, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? This is such a sobering verse. The heart is deceitful. It means that we are constantly finding ourselves not being able to trust whatever that comes up in the reasoning. There's a French philosopher that says, the heart has reasons that reason cannot understand it. The heart has reasons that reason cannot understand it. It means that deep in the crevices and the abyss region of our hearts, there are certain intent, certain feelings, certain matter that maybe we can't even admit to ourselves because we don't even want to look into it. And this is driving us, maybe driving our decision, driving our action, driving our schemes. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. And it is sobering because we cannot truly trust our heart at times, perhaps most of the time. So there is a Chinese phrase, San Xing Liang Yi. Okay, so to those who are non-Mandarin speaking, it means literally three hearts and two intentions. Okay, very simple. So Mandarin is actually simple to learn, you know what I mean? Right, once you break it down, it's a very simple language. Three hearts, two intentions. So what does it mean? Three hearts, two intentions. It means that, you know, intentions, you know, okay, so left or right, that's intentions, right? You go left or you go right. But the direction that you are to take is decided by three hearts. Now that's tough because even with one heart, it's already so difficult, right? Left or right, you know, A or B, right? But when you have three hearts deciding on two directions or intentions, that is close to impossible. It refers to someone who is frivolous, who cannot make up his mind, whether A or B or even C for that matter. San Xing Liang Yi. So it tells us about the condition of our hearts, oftentimes frivolous, undecisive, and oftentimes changing. Perhaps with the season, changing with the environment, changing with the circumstances, changing with whatever wind of favor that blows. So that is something about our heart that we need to be cognizant about. So there is this thing about what we do, right? And especially as Christians, we pray. Sometimes some of us are called to fast and we are called to give. But purity or impurity of an action like these is located in our action. It means to say that oftentimes what is behind our action, whether it's praying even, whether it's even giving and service, whatever that outwardly seem to be truly, generous, and nobody knows the intention. Is it a pure intention, or is it shrouded, or clouded, or weighed with other ulterior motives that is hidden from even ourselves? Some action may seem completely altruistic, but is it truly? That is a sobering thought too. So we come to the heart of today's message, and that is Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So we have dealt with the word blessed. Blessed means happy. And we're going to dive into the first part of this verse, which is pure in heart. We're going to ask ourselves some basic questions about this phrase, pure in heart. And then we're going to end with the second part of this verse, which is they shall see God or they will see God. So what does it mean to see God? What does it mean to be pure in heart? So these are the questions I'm sure we have when we read this verse. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So let me begin with the first question. What does it mean to be pure in heart? So we all know that, heart is deceitful above all else. So what does it mean to be pure in heart? So to help us answer this first question, we want to look at the word pure. So the Greek word for pure is kateros, and it means to be clean, to be blameless, to be unstained. And it has the connotation of being purified through fire. That's what we read in Malachi chapter 3. Refiner's fire. Refiner's fire, like fire, is being used to refine precious metals like silver and gold. Because when the refiner first processes unrefined silver or gold, he has to subject this to high temperature beyond the melting point so that the metal will melt, whether it's silver or gold. The dross, that means the impurity, will float to the surface, and then he'll skim it off. And then as he increases the fire further, more of this impurity will rise to the surface, and then he takes it off, until he goes to the point where the fire is maximum and he sees no more dross. And when he stares into the molten liquid, he sees the reflection of his own face. That's being refined. In the same way, God is refining us over various crises, over various trials, so that he can see more and more of Christ in us. It also has the meaning of pruning as well. So we know about John chapter 15, about the gardener pruning the vine and making the vine more fruitful. Then the second word is heart, which is kardia. Kardia. So kardia, sounds a bit like cardiac. Right? Cardiac. So that's where the root word for cardiac is. Cardiac. Right? So simple. Again, Greek is very simple. We all know in English we can learn Greek easily, right? Right, Pastor David? No problem. Okay, cardiac. So heart. So heart, of course, it refers to the physical organ that pumps around 100,000 times a day. Amazing, isn't it? Do you realize that? Our heart pumps around 100,000 times a day. But it also means spiritual center of life. The heart oftentimes refers to our thoughts, our desires, our purpose, our sense, our plans, our schemes, whatever. And this is the intangible part of us, but yet it feels so real. You have songs like "Don't Go Breaking My Heart," right? It's like sometimes when you get disappointment and all that, and then you feel that your heart is breaking, but your heart is not actually breaking. It's just that you feel it, and it feels so real, not just in two pieces, but maybe in hundreds or thousands of pieces, especially if the disappointment is so great. And so on, or the total eclipse of the heart. Sorry, I'm only bringing out songs from my era. Okay, but I'm sure the young people here have other songs involving heart as well. So, what does it mean to have a pure heart? So, firstly, it means having a singleness of heart towards God. Singleness, that means one. Only one focus, and that is God and God alone. So being pure in heart means having that undivided heart towards God and God alone. That is being pure in heart. And while many of us may know that, as a head knowledge. Question is, do we easily slip into an acting mode in church or in certain company, maybe in cell group or in certain company, you know, and we feel that we should act in a certain way? How oftentimes do we catch ourselves upon reflection? It was never obvious during that time, right? Because something in us just kicked in. But it's perhaps during reflection that we realize that we were actually in an acting mode in church, especially in church, because everyone comes in with their A behavior, A grade behavior, or some even A plus behavior, or A plus plus behavior. We are all in our best behavior in church, in this company, that we are smiling, we are always ever so patient, courteous, and warm, and all that. But what are we like outside of church? What are we like at work? Especially if we are in charge of a group of subordinates, and they are depending on us for, you know, not just their progression, their performance, grading, everything else. How are we like? If there's a you know, camera that follows us without our knowledge, and then recording our actions, our activities, our words, what would that reveal about us? Because I think we do slip into acting mode, to be honest, right? Especially in among certain company. But God has called us to be pure in heart. And it means also that we have to be that consistent person, whether we're in a certain company or in somewhere else. It is something that we need to ponder. Being pure in heart also means an uncompromising desire to please God in all things. An uncompromising desire to please God in all things. So why uncompromising? Because there are oftentimes so many conflicting demands on us that oftentimes we are asked to compromise. Maybe in certain circumstances, we think maybe it's okay to indulge in a certain practice that may be dishonest, and maybe leaving pleasing God somewhere else, going after the bottom line, the profit margin of the company is much more important than obeying God. So that's not being pure. To be pure means willing to obey God in every circumstance. So there is a CEO of a major fast food company, you know, I will not mention the name, but it has these golden arches. anyway, and he said something like this, that on Sunday, the order is God is number one, my family is number two, and work is number three. But when Monday starts, then work is number one, family is number two, and God is number three. That is not being single-minded and uncompromising in the desire to please God. Psalm 51 is written by David after he was confronted by Prophet Nathan on his sin in committing adultery, but also in having a hand in the death of the husband of Bathsheba. So in that sense, he is also a murderer in that sense. And Psalm 51 is a psalm where David confessed. He poured out before God. He was convicted. And this is how deceitful the heart can be, because prior to being confronted by Prophet Nathan, he knows full well his action, he knows full well what he has done, but yet something in his heart tells him it's okay, you know? Maybe it's fine, maybe he was actually doing something okay, right? Until everything is being laid out in the way God sees it by Prophet Nathan. That's when David is confronted with what is deep in his heart that perhaps he himself doesn't even want to face. And in Psalm 51, verse 10, he wrote, "Create in me a pure heart. Create in me a pure heart." He recognized that perhaps he was going around with an impure heart that caused him to sin. And now he says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." A steadfast spirit, one that will not bend according to whatever desire or different temptations that come about, right? So these are what it means to have a pure heart, to be single-minded, to be uncompromising in our devotion to God. To be pure means to not have any other desire, any other agenda apart from devotion to God, obeying God. So let's ask ourselves the next question. What are the signs of a pure heart? What are the signs? What would it tell you? Either you or you observe someone with a pure heart. Number one, the sign of a pure heart is a heart that serves God with total devotion. And you're ever ready for an inspection. The psalmist in Psalm 139 wrote, "Search me, O God, and try me. Search me, O God, and try me." So it's not as if God doesn't know everything about our heart. But what the psalmist wants is to say, "Tell me and convict me about the things in my heart that I could not even bring myself to admit to myself that I'm like this or I'm like that or I actually desire this or desire that, which is against your standard, which is against your will, which actually displeases God. God, please show these to me. Please tell me. Please search every corner of my heart and bring it before me and show it to me," right? Search me, O God. We should be ever ready for inspection. I was told by a friend who travels regularly to U.S., not recently, I mean, many years ago, he was then U.S. So relax, he didn't just come back from U.S. last week. No, it was some time ago. So this friend of mine who regularly go to U.S. Said that during one of his visits in a Midwestern city, in the morning, he will find a long queue just outside his hotel. And, you know, with long queue, you know, it creates curiosity. Why a long queue? Right? In Singapore, we know long queue means what? Of course, today it means queuing for masks, lah. You know, people buying masks. And this is always a sign that if you see a long queue in front of Unity or Guardian, oh, there's masks. And if you walk by, there's no queue, means no masks. So no point going in. Okay, so that's the indication. So, of course, other days will be long queue means, other times means, 4D or Toto or something like that. You know, and if it's during Chinese New Year, it's, you know, you'll see that people queuing up to buy bak kwa la. Okay, but in this case, he saw a long queue in this Midwestern town city in US, and he see that 3 days in a row, you know, three mornings he see this long queue. So he got curious and he asked one of the local, so what are these people queuing for? And he was told that, oh, these people are on parole. They are drug addicts, and they're out on parole, and they have to go for inspection daily to show that they are not into drugs, and therefore they can still move around freely. Instead of being in the detention center or in jail, they can move around, but they must be inspected every day. And I thought to myself, yeah, how true it is. Right, that we should ask God to inspect us every, not that we are into drugs, but you know, our hearts need to be inspected every day. Search me, O God, and try me, and know if there's any ways in me that I need to turn away from. Psalm 24. Verse 3 to 4 says, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord, who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. So again, this is about, you know, what we sang just now. Clean hands, a hand that doesn't commit crime, who doesn't commit any offense, and with a pure heart, and who doesn't trust an idol. So then we ask ourselves another question. How do I become pure in heart and keep it that way? How do I become pure in heart and keep it that way? Okay, so to answer that, let's go to another psalm, another verse in Psalm. That's Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed according to your word. By taking heed according to your word. We can keep our ways pure by following God, by exposing ourselves regularly to God's word, who will that will instruct us, that will correct us, that will set us onto the right path, the path to walk in. That is the result of reading God's word and obeying God's word. So by taking heed according to God's word, we keep our way pure. We have to be into God's word daily. So God's word is truly our instruction manual to help us keep our heart pure all the time. So we can keep our ways pure by getting into God's word every day. And maybe, you know, if you can, more than once a day, immerse yourself in God's word. Finally, what does see God mean? So we read in Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are those pure in heart, for they will see God. So what does see God mean? Right? So does it mean we literally see God appearing in front of us? I mean, even Moses don't get to see God face to face. Right? I mean, he see the back of God, and after that, he has to wear a veil. Imagine that, right? And we all know that from the account of Daniel and John, they fainted. They were, you know, I mean, even when exposed to the glory of God, it's already, you know, in our colloquial way, you know, of saying, cannot tahan anymore. Right? So we you know, so what does see God means? Well, to see God, if we're to use a certain context, if someone say, "Oh, tomorrow I'm going to see President Halimah Yacob," right? Or yesterday I saw President Halimah Yacob. And they say, "Oh, really? So what did she say to you?" Then you say, "No, I was in a function and she was on stage and I saw her." So that's not the kind of seeing that, you know, like seeing from afar, like 200 meters away. So that's one way of seeing, right? But here, when we talk about seeing, it means more than that. It's not like seeing from a distance, like how you say, "Oh, I saw the Queen and all that, you know, when I was in London because her carriage just happened to pass by," you know. It is more than that. So seeing means a bit more like, much more like, I'm seeing my boss later. It means that you're going to enter his office and you and him are going to have a conversation. Hopefully it's about a raise or a certain promotion or something like that, and not on some other you know, mistakes that you make, right? So, you know, so when you're going to see your boss or see your superior, it means entering into his office, entering into his room, and you're going to have a conversation, and hopefully a very pleasant one. You know, and he's going to say, "Oh, you've done a fantastic job." Like, you know, Jones said, "Oh, Jones, you have done fantastically well. Planning went well. Everything went well. Well done." That kind of thing, right? So it's a bit like that kind of seeing, that you enter into God's presence. You're communing with God because you are pure. Your focus is on God, and therefore you get that blessing, that wonderful honor of experiencing God's presence. And you enter his presence. You have that wonderful time of communion with him where you pour out your heart. And not only that, as you pour out your heart, God speaks to you. God brings into your mind a certain passage or a certain verse that directly addresses that pain, that hurt, that particular issue that you're struggling with your life all these months, all these weeks, and you get the answer as you enter his presence. You get the blessing as you enter his presence because you came away with peace. You have that burden lifted. You have whatever that is in conflict in you deconflicted as you enter his presence. So see God is to enter his presence, is to enjoy his presence. You know, the psalmist says, "In your presence is joy forevermore." It's that kind of wonderful blessing that you have as you enter his presence. So next is to behold his glory. The wonderful thing about seeing God is that you see his glory and you see how glorious God is, how marvelous he is, and you're able to see, you know, the vastness and the greatness of the things that he's doing in your life, that it all makes sense now. All this disappointment, all this hurt that happened in the past makes sense to you now because God, through his glory, is bringing into you something that wouldn't have formed had it not been his grace and his ever-abiding presence in your life. So finally, see God also means to be enveloped by his grace. You know, it's like you commune with God and you just can see that so much more of his grace. Even as we go through habits of grace, which you know, we will definitely resume through Zoom, you know, habits of grace, to be enveloped by his grace is also something that is tremendously wonderful, right? And that is what it means to see God, to enter His presence, to behold His glory, and to be enveloped by His grace, to know how deep the grace is, how fantastic God's grace is. So in closing, like to leave you with further questions, but we're not going to answer them here. I'm going to ask you to ponder this over the week as we round up today's message. How would you describe the state of your heart now? Okay, don't shout out the answer, please, but you know, in your own heart, you know, your answer to yourself, how would you describe the state of your heart now? This is between you and God. Next, is the intent of your heart yielded to God? We all have intention, you know, good or bad or, you know, in between. We all have intentions in our actions, our plans, our programs. But have we yielded this to God? Have we asked God to sanctify these plans and say, this is what I plan? Oftentimes, there are many, many plans that we just form in our head, in our heart, and we go ahead and do it, right? Without revealing to God even, as if God doesn't know. Most of the time, we don't want to tell God. Sometimes we don't even want to discuss with Him. And we wish that God doesn't know, but He knows. But we form plans, we form schemes, we form these intentions in our heart on our own, without wanting to involve God. But God is concerned with our heart. And therefore, it is so important to yield our heart and to make every intention known to Him, so that we all walk with God every day. Oftentimes, we like to walk alone because we don't want God to see us doing certain things or going certain direction. But God is there with us all the time. We must not deceive ourselves to think that He doesn't know, He doesn't see, He's not paying attention because His focus is somewhere else. God is everywhere. God sees everything. So is the intent of your heart yielded to God? The plan that you have for tomorrow, the plan that you have for the next week, discuss it with God. Let God know. Pray to God. Finally, will you daily ask God to search your heart? Will you subject yourself to inspection, heart inspection, every day to God? God is very concerned with the heart. We have to turn our heart to God daily, because those who are pure in heart will see God. Blessed are those pure in heart, for they will see God. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the work that you are doing in our midst. May you continue to work with us. Lord, be the refiner of our heart today. Be the refiner of this heart of mine, so that it can be pure always before you. That, Lord, we can serve you with undivided attention. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.